The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days, break, tell it, grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to a hand. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up in town, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro.
Good evening, Bahamas. And welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino Brown, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and you can text us powered by BTC at 422-GR96. And you can look us up on Cable Bahamas 969 and listen in. And like I said, it's going to be a very wonderful show today. I have a wonderful guest in studios. We call him Renard Henfield, and everyone knows that he's contributed greatly to the development of the country. And he also always fights for the advocate of the less fortunate in the country, and he's still doing great works. So today, our topic is going to be, we're going to call it One Evening, and it's going to be called What's the Law with This? It's concerning rights of tenants, rights of landlord owners. We want to have this discussion because throughout the inner city in Iran, Nassau, New Providence, there are many cases before the courts of tenants abusing their powers and also landlord abusing their powers. So we have a professional in studios today to have this discussion on Guardian Radio 96.9. So hang in for a few seconds while I should just give our community special thanks to some wonderful persons who are assisting me as a private partner with the development of Grandstand. And if anyone is listening, I want to give a special shout out to Bahamas Waste that's been assisting me for the last 10 years in the Grandstand community with providing us with dumpsters to beautify and clean up the area. It's been a very, very hard and tough task because, you know, we keep on cleaning up and people keep on dumping in the community. But, you know, we're still continuing it. And now it's reaching them where they're starting to get along with the program and start to themselves to clean up themselves and to make sure that when we clean down something again, it stays clean. And I'm glad that our pride again is being regained back in the Grandstand community. I want to give a special thanks to the Bahamas Waste and my good friend Franny. I want to give a special thanks to Keith Sands of Rotary International. Rotary has been assisting me the last 10 years, and that's how I can make the connection with Bahamas Waste. Their pledge to assist me in many of the small projects that I'm doing in the Grandstand community. And in the coming months, you can continue to clean up. We also have Ngandi Pinder coming to the community to help with the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. site that has been established in the Grandstand community in the year of 2015, 2016, and you're going to see great work so that as we use this as a beacon to attract tourists that comes in our community, that will be a historical landmark with the many projects that we're doing to better equip the community with education, providing small businesses, and changing the mindset of our youths in the inner city community, both male and female. You know, so it's going to be great progress in the Grandstand community. I want to say thanks to Bahamas Waste again, Franny, and to Gianni Pindo, and many other sponsors. I have my special guest in studios today, Mr. Renard Henfield. We call him Senator, you know, but he's former Senator now, but we call him Senator with due respect that he has a tree of greatness, you know, from someone to come off the the inner city community is to achieve greatness and still climbing. So I want to give a shout out to Mr. Hanfield, who's in studio today, to give us some valuable information concerning, again, landlords and those who are renting from landlords. Okay, Jack?
Good evening, Bahamas. And as many of you would know, I am a father, so I have to say hello to my two daughters, Rianne and Raina Hanfield, and my wife, Vidya. Always a pleasure to be here with Mr. Brown, a.k.a. Scrooge.
My pleasure.
Don't mind Scrooge on this radio, but Senator, the name is Natto.
Okay.
All right, so Natto is here.
Natto.
Natto. I am here to assist tonight in speaking to the landlord and tenant relationship. So feel free throughout the evening if you have any questions to call in. Let me clarify any scenarios or situations you're dealing with.
Wow. Yes, awesome. You know, Mr. Hanfield, in the Bahamas in the last, say, 50 years, you know, many of us who were looking for a better opportunity started to invest in building apartments, mm-hmm. right? That's for us to have a living. So mm-hmm. we work hard, and then we said we'd buy a property, and then we would build some apartments to rent out to, I guess it was for the tourists, but beyond beaming people who live here or people who come in to visit mm-hmm. as either, Airbnb.
Airbnb.
It mm-hmm. was designed a long time for that. Mm-hmm. And over the course of the deterioration of the, how I should say, the communities, you know, mm-hmm. change, and then we start to, break down and start to rent out to foreigners and also behemoth. But there's been of rights being violated. And some of those rights, we're talking about landlords illegally entering mm-hmm. The tenants, mm-hmm. Who they renting out, having keys and go in without authorization from those who are renting. Mm-hmm. And then we have tenants who live in the landlord's house who absolutely destroy mm-hmm. The landlord house. So it goes two ways. Yes. So where do you think we should start from today, Mr. Hanfield?
I think we need to begin today, and again, we don't have much time.
Okay.
So we need to begin with the misconceptions and the basics.
Okay, let's go.
And some of the common misconceptions by tenants is that I can have however many people staying in my place because I pay in rent.
Right, so?
So they rented a one-bedroom on efficiency, and they have 6, 7, 8, 9 people staying inside the place.
Wow.
And that's a misconception that you can have as many people as you want.
Wow.
Another misconception I find that tenants have is that anything that is broken inside this place, that's for the landlord to fix and not me.
Hmm.
So you move into a place, the landlord gave you something in good condition, but you break the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
You break the faucet. You break the fan, mm-hmm. and they have the view that that's... another misconception, I'm only going to give 4 of them, is
go
that
ahead.
If something isn't repaired, when I tell the landlord it's broken, I don't need to pay him no rent.
Mm.
A lot of tenants are of that view. And finally, there's the most popular one. I'll pay rent when I get it. Stop running me down for this little money.
Well, it seems like this seems like I hear this. Every week, I hear the same arguments that you were stating right now. So a lot of these come before the courts.
Yeah, a lot. And then even for landlords have a lot of misconceptions. So landlords who are listening, a lot of landlords are of the view that they can change the locks because somebody didn't pay.
Mm.
So rent is due on the first of the month, and the landlord goes and changes the lock on the second. You have no authority whatsoever. That's a misconception. Another misconception landlords have is that I can keep a key to a place that I've rented to you. You have no right to keep a key to the place you've rented to me. Third, I don't have to return. Go ahead.
Say it again now.
Landlords are of the view in this country that when they rent you an apartment and efficiency, they have a right to the place.
But I normally see sometimes when there's an argument, the landlord sometimes go inside the tenant's apartment with old authorization.
So he just break in.
That's breaking
he
in.
He just break in.
You're not allowed to have no key as long as that is rented.
And breaking doesn't mean he break down the door, broke through the window. He entered a place illegally without permission to remove or to do something that he had no authority or no right to.
He or she.
I think another misconception we see a lot is that landlords have the view that they don't have to return the security deposit because there was some damage.
Mm.
So you've collected someone's first, last month's rent and security deposit of $500, and there's a bathroom toilet that's broken. that literally costs about $150 or $200 to repair, but the landlord says, I'm keeping the full $500 to factor in my time for going to pick up the toilet and have the toilet put in. That's also nonsense. And then there's this belief by landlords that I can raise rent whenever I want and to whatever I want. So those are just some of the misconceptions to get us started today.
Man, that's a heap.
Yeah, we have a lot to go through today, but that's all.
You should start off. I don't know where to start from. But let's just start off.
So let's jump into what are some of the basics. For those of you listening, we're learning about landlord and tenant relationship, and I call it relationship. All right, you are in a relationship, a landlord and tenant relationship, which then carries certain obligations and responsibilities for each party. And unfortunately, having been to Parliament, we in Parliament and a disservice to this area of the law, there isn't much in the Acts of Parliament when it comes to the landlord and tenant relationship. So what has to happen for us is we fall back and rely on common law slash the cases.
Yes.
The cases to shape the business relationship of leases. And as a basic, a lease, when you hear persons in the country say, I have a lease, I don't have a rental agreement. No, you have a rental agreement, which is called a lease. You have a lease that is called a rental agreement. The lease and rental agreement are terms that are used interchangeably. All right? So someone saying, I want you to sign a lease, and someone else says it's a rental agreement, it doesn't matter. It's the same thing. It's a contract in its simplest form that is for you, the tenant, to occupy and have use of a specific premise for a certain period of time, for a certain amount of money that is due on a certain slash specified date. All right? Whether you call it a lease or a rental agreement, it's the same thing. Now, the lessor is the landlord, and the lessee is the tenant. Most people just call it landlord and tenant. But if you have a lease, you may see it in the lease saying, the lessor hereby grants unto the being the landlord XYZ the demise of the property. All right? Don't get caught up in the terminology, but for the fact that understand that you are renting a place, and whether this agreement says lease or rental agreement, that is the contract that determines what are the rights, obligations, and specifics. So if I jump then to the lease types slash rental agreement types, you have the fixed term lease rental agreement where someone says, I'm renting my place to you from June 1st, 2023 to June 1st, 2024. 1 year.
1 year.
What then happens is that lease should say, or the rental agreement should say, that at the end of the lease, there's an option to renew. But if we fail to execute a new lease for another year, then you become a month-to-month tenant.
Okay.
So you've gone from having locked in yourself to this agreement for 1 year
to 1 month
to
now.
1 month rentals.
Because you didn't live up to obligations.
Right. So you can continue paying month-to-month if y'all don't sign a lease. Then you have the norm, which is the month-to-month. It says rent is paid every month on XYZ. It's a simply month-to-month rental. Then you will also have what has become very popular these days. It's weekly rentals, persons asking to rent by the week, all right, which they find to be much cheaper if they're looking for an efficiency, for instance. But once you're talking about like a one-bedroom or two-bedroom apartment, most of those are rented on a month-to-month basis or a yearly lease, all right? Every lease should state and express certain things for you. It should express and state who the landlord and tenant are on that document. It should state what is being rented, whether it's a one bedroom, a two bedroom, an efficiency, a shop space, etc., a warehouse. It should state how much the rent is and when the rent is due. Go ahead, Scrooge.
I was just writing it just now. I was just inquiring. Just say if a person was looking to say, they wanted to pay a specific amount of rent every month, right? Is it one efficiency or et cetera? Is there a specific price range that the landlord can charge, or is there a range like across the country? Like, let's say, is there a law or some kind of rent regulation that's saying that if you rent an apartment, what the landlord can charge?
Okay, so let me take a step back.
Okay.
When persons approach a landlord to rent their premises, the landlord, this is now a private contract.
Private
between
contract.
You and the landlord. So you're the landlord. You are of the view that you are so nice that it is worth $1,000
okay.
a month.
Okay, okay. It's up to you.
It's up to you. You said this is worth $1,000 a month.
Okay.
So if you've rented it to me, I've signed this lease slash rental agreement to pay you $1,000 for this place every month.
Okay.
Because this is going to be a two-bedroom gated complex.
Okay.
Air conditioned. It's semi-furnished. I'm going to walk in there. You already have the fridge stove in there.
It's furnished and everything.
You have a front room set. All you really need to do is bring my clothes and probably a bed.
Okay.
Or even the beds in there. So this is worth $1,000 to you.
Okay.
I accept that that's the worth. I'll pay you $1,000 a month to have this. When the law kicks in as far as the rental issue is when you decide... We have a yearly lease now, Scrooge.
Okay.
Starting June 1st.
Okay.
And then you come to me on July 7th and realize, boy, Nassau jumping. Everybody home for this independence. I can make more money. So you come to me and say, hey, come next week, the rent going up to $2,000. You can't do that. Because we already have a rental agreement.
Okay.
A contract that says for the next year, I am only to pay you $1,000.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
So... To jump back then into what your lease should express, it is who the landlord and tenants are, what is being rented, how much the rent is, and when the rent is due, the notice requirements for vacating, and that's whether the tenant wants to leave or the landlord wants you out. Mm-hmm. That there's 60 days, 30 days, or 90 days.
Let's hit it again, because I saw some row with landlords. And they insist that those person immediately leave with the host the very next day or week.
Right.
That's
an illegal eviction.
That's
an illegal eviction. So if it is that you've rented, I'm going to use you and I as an example.
Yes, sir.
You're the landlord for the rest of this show.
Okay.
And I've rented a place. I come home, I park my car in the yard to run inside and get something. I'm blasting the latest Jackie or Bungie, whatever it is. And you come and say, hey, turn the stupidness down. And I say, Pops, go back inside. Calm yourself. And I go inside the music blasting, you get mad. So you say, you know what? I want you out of my place tomorrow. I ain't going nowhere tomorrow because I have a month-to-month lease. Today is the 19th of the month, and my rent is due in the first of every month.
Mm-hmm.
You can give me notice to move in 1 month. And 1 month doesn't mean on the 19th of next month. If my rent is due in the 1st of June, you can give me notice anytime before the 1st of June to move out by the 1st of July.
Okay.
So you telling me to listen to this genre of music or you don't like this, the way I hang my clothes on the line, I don't have to move tomorrow.
Wow.
All right, you go to the police station if you want, you go to court, when you go to court, you appear before the magistrate, let the magistrate know I have a month-to-month lease. He told me last week on Friday the 19th, he wanted me out Saturday, I didn't move, and here I am today with my lease agreement to show you my rent is current and it's paid on the 1st of every month, so that most he could be doing is giving me notice to move by July 1st.
Okay.
All right? And another thing that your rental agreement should state is that what the payments are for first, last month, and security deposit.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you do, whether you are the landlord or tenant listening, please keep a copy of your rental agreement.
Mm-hmm.
When you move in, the landlord is happy to have you, and the tenant is happy to have a place. Everybody in their good spirits and good mood then.
Mm-hmm.
But you will fall out, as with any relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, parents, and child, you will have difficult times. And when you fall out, you need to be able to look at the rental agreement to see what were the obligations and responsibilities of each party when this relationship is falling apart. So I'm going to take all of you now to the landlord's rights.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain rights you have as a landlord. And one of those rights is to be paid your rent in full, on time, and depending on your lease/rental agreement, with late fees if it's not paid in full and on time.
You can
contract.
Oh, on contract.
You can't come 3 months later and tell somebody.
Let's get it clear. Yeah. Okay, I understand what you're saying.
That needs to be in that.
That has to be in the contract.
That has to be in the contract.
Late fee has to be when we sign for this 1 month.
Right.
Tingham.
You can't come after the fact 6 months and say, man, you've been late with rent for 4 months or the six. I charge you a late fee. No, you cannot charge
and
a late
fee. And we have many people do that in the
country. We've never agreed to it. Our entire agreement is in writing and it's gotten there.
So that's why many tenants themselves get an argument with the landlords.
Right, right. And then they find themselves accumulating this late fee at $50 or $75 over 5 hours, saying you owe $300
from behind. Because they say, this is the truth, because I... Yeah, these kind of stuff, and people say, but how I get this, and I just did this, and I paid the late fee, and
And that's what's been happening, because a lot of persons, like you've just pointed out, have a landlord who's of the view that I can just add things to our relationship or our agreement.
So make sure
it's not in writing. Make sure keep your agreement.
Make sure keep your
and agreement. And read your agreement before you sign
it. Before you sign it.
All right, so back to the landlord's rights. Yes, he's entitled or she's entitled to have a rent paid in full on time. And again, depending on that agreement, if there's a late fee, they're entitled to a late fee.
Mm.
If it's not an agreement, they cannot charge you a late fee. But the landlord has a right to have their property kept in good condition. When we opened the show, Scrooge spoke about a land. Many persons in this country have made sacrifices to get a rental place, to put on rent. Rent is a second source of income for some people.
Yes.
And for some people at their age, it is their only
retirement
source of
money.
Income.
That's their retirement money.
Right? And when you factor in that this person's relying on this money they collect in rent to pay their mortgage, to pay their bills, to buy grocery, to pay for their medical bills and medicine, and then you decide you can pay it when you want, you're going to have a problem. The landlord's entitled to rent in full, but then we have a bigger issue when you decide to break up the landlord place.
Yes.
And you've only paid a $500 security deposit, but the landlord has a right to have his place kept in good condition. Hence, you'll hear persons in there, or see persons in their agreement asking for an inspection every 3 months
maintenance,
or 6 months.
Coming and
letting making sure you're not damaging their place. And we're going to touch on when they can do that in a moment.
Go ahead.
But moving forward, the landlord has the right to evict you with reasonable notice. The landlord does not need a reason to evict you. So you could be current in rent, and the landlord could still decide this relationship is over.
You talk about the music, so yes.
Yeah.
I play the music, so I guess it's over.
It's over. And but the only thing is the landlord must give you reasonable notice.
Reasonable notice means he have to give you ahead of time.
Yes.
And then he have to give you time.
Right. And if it's a month that you pay your rent because you are a month-to-month tenant, then you are entitled to 1 month's notice.
And why is that? Because
you've already paid the rent.
And you need time to go. Oh, yeah, that's true.
You've paid it. When you moved in, you paid last month's rent.
Okay.
So you can't put me out when I've already paid you to be here for another month.
Okay. So give me time to go and look for our next place of residency.
Right. And let's say the landlord were to bring you. Well, I'm the tenant in this scenario, and you're the landlord. Let's say you're evicting me, but you know Henfield has two daughters and an elderly mother with him in this 2 or 3 bedroom place. And one of them is bedridden, and you know, I have a home based business from here, etc.
This is real life we're talking about.
Right, this is what people are going through every day.
Yeah.
But you're giving me 1 month's notice. Realistically, I got to find some place that is
adequate
to put somebody who's bedridden. I have children who are in school in this community. So when I come to court, I say to the magistrate, I have no problem vacating. He's asked me to move by July 1st. School will be closed, correct. I endeavor to move by July 1st. If I run behind and I can't move, then on July 1st, I will pay him rent for 1 more month, and that'll be my final month. The judge may approve it, or the judge may say in the circumstances.
Judge's discretion.
It's at the judge's discretion.
Wow.
So the judge may say, no, I'm going to give you until the 15th of July. But for the 2 weeks that you're there and your rent was $1,000 a month, you have to pay him $500 for July.
Mm.
All right?
Wow.
And then the landlord has a right to recover any legal costs incurred for pursuing an eviction or pursuing the collection of the arrears of rent or damages that you've done.
Mm-hmm.
So not because the tenant paid a security deposit of $500 that they feel, well, when I'm moving, you keep the security deposit, I'm gone. No, the damages came to $2,000. So the landlord has a right to come and sue you for the $1,500 difference.
So that's the toilet bowl, that's the face bowl, and that's the sheetrock.
Right. But one of the things I want to touch on, though, Scrooge,
go ahead.
That the landlord only has the right to repair it to the quality that it was before. So if you had one of those screw-out windows when I moved in, and that's damaged, you don't get to go now, get hurricane impact window,
you can't
upgrade your place.
Because we are some really stink people.
We are stink.
We had stink on both ends. I mean, I'm talking with the tenants and I'm talking with the landlords. We stink. We stink. We know how to really, really mess up one another when it comes to these things.
True, facts.
Yes.
So let's jump now to the responsibilities of the landlord.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about what the landlord has a right to,
yes,
what he's entitled to. But the landlord has responsibilities in this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those responsibilities is to ensure something in law that's called habitability. It is livable. You know, it is suitable for someone to live in, which then means you can't have sewage blockage. The yard and place can't be flooded.
But we have these problems now as we speak now with people who are ratting out the people right now.
Right, and the sewage backed up.
And it's backed up right now.
And they flush the toilet and coming up in the tub.
All the abandoned cars in the yard. The yard is not kept properly. Rotten and roaches.
Yes. No screens in the windows. No mosquitoes in and out the place.
All these are required.
These are requirements. These are basics.
Wow.
So the place must be habitable at the time the landlord rents it to you. So when you rent to me, Screw, which I expect, and the law requires that it has running water to the place, light to the place. That meaning not that you've paying the light bill, that the power lines are in place. I just need to go to B. First line should be to the place. I just need to go to water and sewage and turn it on. I shouldn't be here and I got to go pay to put a meter into your place to get water. But and that's happening.
Mr. Hinefield, this is what is happening in the country.
I see it every day.
That's why I say let's have this conversation with us just there in the city and we want to talk about these things because these are affecting people today. You know, we had the COVID-19 and I heard when the former prime minister stated that, you know, the landlord needs to be show compassion.
Right.
And he's talking about these, but all these things came up around the same time, Mr. Enfield.
Yes, people who were living in a place where the toilet couldn't flush because the landlord ain't popped the cesspit in 2-3 years. People who are living in a place where the water's being off because the landlord ain't paid a water bill, but yet I'm paying my rent.
And a yard full of rat and
derelict vehicles.
It's
a rat waking you up at night telling you move over. So these are things people are enduring that they don't have to because the landlord has an obligation to provide you a place that is habitable.
Yes.
The landlord also has an obligation or responsibility to give the client exclusive control. Your landlord should not have a key to your place.
Mr. Enfield, this can't be for real because there's a country who have key to their apartment and they when they get mad with their tenants, they go in the people's place. Mm-hmm. And the people say, you can't do that. And they say, I don't give a crap. Mm-hmm. And this is my and this and that.
Yes, and tenants stand down and let it happen because they don't know the law. You have exclusive access to your place when you rent it. Exclusive.
But if I have a bedridden family member, mm-hmm. and then I could probably have a young daughter in the place, right. and then you just come open the door, and then
you out to work, you went home,
and then I get this call that mm-hmm. you won't believe who here, mm-hmm. the landlord in the place, and he tell me, and mm-hmm. you know this causes problem.
Yes, yes. So the landlord has a responsibility that the landlord has to make sure that you have exclusive access.
Yes,
nobody should have access to the place. Then the landlord has that responsibility of not interfering with you. And by not interfering with you, there's something we call in law peaceful enjoyment. The tenant should have peaceful enjoyment. The landlord should ensure the tenant has peaceful enjoyment, meaning no harassment.
So
park the car.
Live next door. I used to landlord at him next door and you was the professional rent and you're here, so mm-hmm. I play my music. Mm-hmm. I used to landlord. I don't want that turn that Tupac or Biggie Small Dad.
Now, we can come to you as a friend in a minute, though. but realistically...
Go ahead. Sorry.
The truth is that a tenant has a place rented from the landlord who lives on property, and the landlord is harassing the tenant, disconnecting utilities because the tenant is late with the rent, or the tenant didn't do something the landlord said do, or the landlord is threatening the tenant, I can put you out, you know, I can put you out if you don't do X, Y, Z. I've seen cases come to court where the landlord is telling the woman, give me a little something, something.
What?
Give me a little something, something. That's
just to make up for the rent.
We can let this one pass. These are things people are dealing with on a daily basis. I mean, they don't give up. The landlord brings him to court for an eviction. Again, an illegal eviction because you sought to harass somebody, to sexually harass somebody for rent. That's a crime.
Wow.
All right, that's going on. The landlord has a responsibility not to do it, to ensure that you have peaceful enjoyment. And then to address you in a timely manner. So you can't tell your landlord, listen, it's May, hurricane season coming, this leak roofing. I'm saying leak roofing.
Yeah.
The roof is leaking. It's May, hurricane is coming, please repair the roof. And the landlord says, listen, I can get to that next year. Oh, no. You have an obligation to get to this as quickly as possible.
To make it, what do you say, habitable.
Right. You have an obligation. I can't live in some place that's not habitable.
Yeah.
And you have an obligation to rectify
the situation.
That thing that's responsible to the landlord. Now, when I say, and I'm going to clarify this, the landlord rented you a place with screens in the windows. A little bad child you got done bustled every screen in the landlord's place.
Yeah,
so mosquitoes coming through and dengue fever's around again. And you tell the landlord need to fix the screen. No, the landlord rented you a place with a screen fixed. That's for you to fix.
Okay, I like that. It's fair. It's fair.
Because if you moved out today, the landlord will be deducting that from your security
deposit. That's right.
But if you tell me the roof is leaking, the walls are cracked, that's for the landlord.
That's for the landlord.
The sewage is coming up. That's for the landlord. So you call the landlord at 5 o'clock, say, Mr. Brown, I came home and the sewage is in my tub. The toilet is overflowing. Please call the cesspit truck. And the landlord say, no, you call it. No, sir. This is your place.
This
is on you. This is not habitable. You need to come.
Mr. Enfield, I'm glad you came on the show today, because every one of the points you're knocking on is happening as we speak right now in this country.
Yes, yeah.
And it's good that we have this conversation, because it's been a long time, and we need to get the information out there for those who are out there. You know, as tenants, you be respectful when you rent from the landlords. Mm-hmm. And landlords, you got to be respectful to the tenants, mm-hmm. you know, and how you communicate mm-hmm. and how you talk to one another, you know. And we have to have a heart, but we can't take advantage of one another,
yeah.
you know. And I think this is a good conversation we're having right now.
And one more thing that,
go ahead,
as far as the responsibility for the landlord, it is to return people's security deposit in 30 days, not when you feel like it or when you have it. So if the tenant moves out on the 1st of July, because you told me on the 19th...
On the 1st of July.
You didn't want me in your place no more. I must move by July 1st. I now move on July 1st. My security deposit I paid you when I moved in last year, by law, you need to return to me.
I ain't giving it to you.
Within 30 days.
Law? I ain't giving it to you.
So you come in 30 days and you realize, because we did the inspection. Mm-hmm. I took my pictures. You took your pictures. There was nothing
damaged.
I cleaned the place before I gone.
Okay.
You check the toilet. Check the shower. You check the closet doors. Everything's in good condition. 30 days later, I still haven't received my security deposit. The tenant could sue you, because you have an obligation to return security deposit in 30 days, less anything that you need to be needed to repair. If nothing to repair, return my money in 30 days.
You're getting some valuable information from Bernard Enfield, trained professional. Later on in the show, we're going to give out his number, his contacts for any one of you out there who will be going through these similar problems. You can contact him and see best how he could assist you to rectify your situation, you know, because he's given some very valuable information concerning tenants and landlord, and it gives you a perspective on what you can do to actually stand up for what's going on wrong in your life, you know. And there's a lot of hardship going on now in the country, and we are hurting one another. And it's good that we have this conversation so that you can at least say, you know what, I listened to a very positive show, and at least I know what to say to my landlord, and landlord knows what to say to the tenant. And I think this is a very good, very, very good conversation. Go ahead, Mr. Enfield.
So we've discussed the misconceptions so far for landlord and tenants. We've discussed what is a lease. We've discussed the landlord's rights mm-hmm. and responsibilities. Having heard the landlord's responsibilities and rights, then it should then give to you as the tenants listening a glimpse of what is your rights and responsibilities.
Yes.
So let me talk about the rights of a tenant. Obviously, you have a right to peaceful enjoyment. The landlord should not be harassing you, threatening you, disconnecting any utilities. The landlord cannot be changing your locks, cannot be disconnecting utilities, cannot be harassing you, coming to your door late at night, coming on your job, etc., okay, demanding rent. You are entitled to peaceful enjoyment. You are entitled to exclusive access. If you move into a place, and I had a client call me recently and said she just rented a place, paid the first last security deposit. When she got the keys, the landlord took the key off a bunch of three keys and gave her one, and kept two. And she said, no, I need the three of them. The landlord said, no, I always keep a copy of a key in case somebody gets locked out. And she called me from her car. I said, listen, don't even argue with him. Call a locksmith
and change your lock.
And don't give him none of the keys. Call a locksmith. So when he goes there wiggling his key tomorrow to try and get in, he ain't gonna get in because you've changed your locks.
Let me give you a prime example why that's so important, what you said. There are many people who bought cars, right?
Mm-hmm.
And cars get sold the right way, legal.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while, the cars go missing. Mm-hmm. And there's no broken glass, no nothing. It's because
the person kept a key.
And they, okay.
And you let the person drop the car after your house, so they know exactly the company car.
Just switch it up, eh?
Yeah. So that happens, unfortunately, but definitely for a landlord and tenant, landlords, you ought not be keeping keys to the tenant's place. Tenants, you have a right to exclusive access. Your landlord has no right to come into your place. However, if repairs need to be done or an inspection needs to be done, the landlord must give you notice. You have a right to notice. The landlord can't show up at 5:30 when you reach home. I'm here to do an inspection. No, you're not. Tomorrow, or we could arrange a convenient time both of us.
When I'm on lunch break or when I'm going to be home at my time.
Right.
Because remember now, like you said, I ran this. Mm-hmm. Okay, I ran the place, so you can't just come demand me because you're the landlord and you feel you're going to get somebody to come.
Yeah. This is my home.
That's right.
That I'm paying you for on a month-to-month basis.
This is?
And from day one with the agreement, if the agreement was silent and didn't mention inspections and repairs, then the law says it's something that we, I hate to use the legal jargon, but it's called an implied term.
Implied term.
So when you have a written agreement in law, we call it the express terms.
Express.
And that there's something that isn't written there and expressly stated. In this, in every area of law, especially contract law, mm-hmm. there are certain things that are implied. And it's implied for us in landlord and tenant law that even if that contract doesn't speak to you, do an inspection. You can do an inspection because you're the landlord, you have a right, but it must be by reasonable notice.
Okay.
And even if the tenant says, let's do an inspection Friday at 5:30, I'll be home at 5:30, and the tenant being disgusting doesn't come home at 5:30, the landlord has no, all right? We can agree to another time, all right?
Okay.
But it has to be with notice to the tenant. You just can't walk into someone's place. Now, let's say you have a duplex or a triplex, mm-hmm. and one tenant calls the landlord to say, hey, the place flooding or the place is on fire. I'm smelling smoke. Mm-hmm. And the landlord is trying to reach you, Scrooge. You're the tenant there. And the landlord can reach you, get to the place. Sure enough, they see smoke. Then in that situation, the law will allow for the landlord to go in because that's an emergency. The place is on fire.
Yes, yes.
All right? If there's water pouring out of the place because someone left the tap on, then in law, what we would say is while, and it's arguable, while some may say it'll be reasonable for the landlord to go in and see what the issue is,
mm-hmm.
I would argue, no, simply turn the water supply
off outside. Yes, makes
sense.
You
don't need to enter. Just turn the water supply off outside. That shuts down everything until you can reach your tenant who you know comes home every single day. You just have your plumber lined up, try reaching this person, but there's no reason for you to go in for water flowing out of their home. Simply because, turn off the water supply.
Because sometimes things could go missing, and sometimes it might not go missing, but people would exaggerate just because you go inside and say some things go missing.
Yeah, the landlords have entered into someone's property who claimed that they had thousands of dollars inside their house.
Yes.
And another neighbor saw the landlord go in, and they brought the action that you must have stolen my money.
Yes.
And you... only could be you. You went in
yes,
the place.
Because I could come up with my strategy now.
Right, and there's no guarantee that person then modified dogs in the house.
And that's the truth.
So why get yourself in trouble going to people's
because
place?
Because give us time, big or fickle, some kind of scheme to come up with.
Yes, yes. So stay your butt outside people's place. You didn't rent that, stay out. All right, so the tenant also has a right to live in a rodent-free premise. And that is subject to no fault of their own now. So when you as the landlord rent a place to someone, make sure that you have had it exterminated. If you've seen roaches when you are prepping to go out, get the exterminator because mm-hmm. the tenant has a right to live in a rodent-free premise. Now, let's say the tenant's been living in there for 2-3 years and now the roaches start popping up. That's only you being in there, Scrooge.
It's on me. That's right.
All right. So we got to be reasonable and realistic.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yes.
Be reasonable and realistic. Then another thing is a tenant is entitled, as I alluded to earlier, to utility and service supplies being in place. I've had persons who say that the landlord and them are having a dispute because they're trying to get cable to the place. And cable is saying, but you don't have for us to put cable TV and internet for you. You need to run those lines. That is not for the tenant to run those lines. The landlord should have had those lines in place. Cable Bahamas can charge that tenant about $200 and some to put the lines in. That's not the tenant's expense. That's the landlord's place. When those lines go in, they benefit the landlord.
And you talk about the fact that it has to be a place where the tenant is comfortable.
Yes, yes. So, and I would argue, too, that the same way water and light is a necessity.
It should
so
be cable.
So is cable and electricity in this day and age.
Yeah, it should be.
Especially since COVID,
be
we saw the importance of having internet access for children with learning, etc.
Yes.
So I would argue that having internet lines in place is a necessity, just yes. as it is to have water, sewage, and light.
Yes.
All right. Another thing for tenants is the repairs covenant. You have a right to indicate to your landlord, Mr. Landlord, that the roof is leaking. I'm hearing sparking from the electrical box. And because of that repairs covenant or that right you have, if you notify the landlord on Monday and the landlord says he's coming Tuesday, he doesn't come on Tuesday, call the landlord again.
Mm-hmm.
Notify the landlord. But our conversation yesterday, when I had indicated to you that I'm hearing sparking from the meter box, the electrical box, please have this repaired by tomorrow. Let's say tomorrow is Wednesday. Failing which, I will have an electrician come by, repair it. I will pay the electrician from your rent, though. So when rent due on the first, you'll be getting your rent less whatever the electrician
okay.
charge.
And you would present the bill for the electrician.
Bill to the landlord.
That makes sense.
And you are protected by law in doing that. Yep. Once you've given the landlord notice, and
yes.
the landlord has failed to do it, make sure you've documented it in writing.
Okay, so like you said, you know, we get a little leak in the roof, right? And I send in a letter to the landlord stating that, you know, it's a leak. I would like to see if you get a repair Tuesday, if you could come repair Tuesday. If I don't get a response, I'd put in writing if I don't get it, or if you don't repair time, it's Tuesday, I would look and find a private contractor to come in. I'll check on the quote, the price of it.
Notify the landlord, this can cost $300 to get done. This is your last chance. Get done tomorrow. And rent due on the end of the month at $1,000, I'll be giving you $700 plus this receipt showing I paid someone $300.
Okay. As long as I ain't damaging myself.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I'll say that, Scrooge. When you think of a window that your kids damaged, you shouldn't even be calling the landlord.
That's something you should do yourself.
Right. The screen, that's something
it
you...
This is fairness now. This is fairness because they rent it to you in perfect livable condition.
Right.
So there's no reason you need to call me if the window gets cracked. That's your...
Right. But the reason why I use the electrical for example is because... The electrical was done when you built this place.
Yes.
I have no interference with the electrical when I'm living here. All I'm doing is plugging stuff into the wall.
Yes.
So if I hear the sparking coming from the electrical box, that's on the landlord.
Yes. You're correct.
If I break the switch where I plug in my cords, you know, those little plates, which cost a dollar or less, that's on you as a tenant.
Yeah. Because the chewing gum sometimes crack it. Yeah.
Sometimes you put your chair up against it and it breaks these things. That's on the tenant. But when you hit an electrical box... example, that's on the landlord.
Wow.
So you give the landlord, this is an emergency. This isn't something you could wait for a month. I could be sleeping or out to work and this place catches a fire. We need to move quickly. And if you don't come in XYZ period of time, I've given you notice and asked you for and right, which is something I'm entitled to, then I'll have it repaired at your expense.
Awesome.
All right. So with that right that a tenant has, a tenant also has responsibilities, folks. And either landlord his rent or her rent in full and on time. That's one of your responsibilities in this relationship. Pay the rent in full, on time. All right? Maintain the premises and fixtures in good repair. Don't cause a nuisance to other tenants, neighbors, or the landlord. So I gave that example of I pull up to run in the house and I decide I'm blasting this new reggae song I like and the landlord don't like it. I'm causing a nuisance technically.
Yes.
And don't let the song have profanity.
Yeah, because we have other residents live there as
right.
well.
So I'm causing a nuisance not just to the landlord, to other tenants and the neighbors.
Being rude, just being rude.
So you have a responsibility, tenants, not to be someone causing a nuisance.
Okay.
You or your kids or your guests shouldn't be causing a nuisance, all right? And that's to the landlord, to the other tenants, or even the neighbors.
Right, so that means if one or two people complain to the landlord to tell a tenant that, you know, turn down the music, it's 12 o'clock in
right,
the place,
right,
and you continue to do this, and we have to get together and send a letter. And
the landlord is right to give you a letter.
Yes. Just
notice.
Like you say, you have to leave.
Your notice.
Even though
the place in good condition.
You
caused a nuisance? We ain't got time for this.
You get your first and last after you vacate. Just, okay.
You get your security deposit.
Yeah, I get
you spend
me,
that last
yeah,
one.
The security deposit.
I keep
that
first and last.
Excuse me.
That
the security deposit.
Gone, Bishop say.
It makes sense. Because you're a nuisance. You're just trying to be a rude, bad tenant.
Yes. So one of the other things, responsibilities tenants have, and I think tenants in this country fail to appreciate, is that you have a responsibility to address any damages that you and your guests have caused to the home. So you know the kids break the toilet.
Right.
And the water running. You're sitting there in this place for weeks on weeks, months on months with the water running up a water bill.
Yes.
You have a responsibility to fix that. And if you don't fix that and that landlord's water bill comes $1,000
for that
period when it's normally $150, they're right to come to court and sue you for the difference.
And just like you're saying, what about the light? I'm a tenant and I decide I want this big 40-inch AC.
Because you know light included.
Light included.
And you're burning
AC.
So I've seen landlord's agreements that indicate that light is included up to $250. You know, so there are people who would just read the agreement that says light is included. So they feel they can go to work and leave the AC because when they come home, you know, the TV on all night because they're in pain. But see, it's $250. Here's your bill. You owe $150. That's going to be added on to the rent for this month.
So that's why it's important to make sure, as a tenant, to have your meter with your name on it.
Yes. There are so many persons in this country, Scrooge, that are sharing a meter with the landlord, which is something I never advise.
No.
Or sharing a meter with other tenants.
You can rob yourself.
You only get yourself in trouble.
Yes.
All right. So that's a summary of it. Just to recap quickly before all of you call in, if you have any questions with your scenarios, is that your lease slash rental agreement is one and the same. So if you hear someone saying they have a lease and another co-worker or friend saying I have a rental agreement, it's the same thing. It's just interchangeable. It simply means a contract where you occupy someone's place for a certain period of time and you pay them a certain period of money in rent on a certain date. The misconceptions, I'm going to run through all of them again. I'm not going to, but simply I would say decency in order as a landlord and tenant. That tenant is a customer of yours. You're in a relationship, and it's a business relationship.
Yes.
And tenant, if you are renting someone's place, like Screws that we open, someone has invested money to acquire this property to get it to the standard it is to rent to you. This is their life savings, and they're depending on that money to take care of themselves and their family and their expenses every month. Pay your rent on time.
That
is nonsense.
I'm getting mad.
Yeah, you'll get evicted. And landlords, you have no right to go into somebody's place. Once you rent that, that is theirs. If they don't pay you rent, you don't get to change locks and put them out. The only way to evict a tenant who doesn't want to leave is by court order. Landlords in this country have the view that, hey, if you don't pay rent, you're getting on my nerve. I could just change locks, put your stuff outside, and give you back your money. No,
and that's very dangerous.
The only way you can force somebody out is by a court order, and the court order will be signed by a magistrate, in which the magistrate authorizes the police, the nearest station to that residence, to come and put that tenant out.
That's the right way to go about it.
That's the right way to go about it, all right? So I hope that helps, Scrooge. If anybody has any questions, feel free.
That helps a lot. Again, telephone numbers are 323-6232-325-4316 and 325-4259. You could call and ask any question of any of the above that Mr. Henfield has just given you. It's a great conversation, very educational, and I've learned a lot here today, even though I knew some of the things, but tell you the truth, I didn't know all of the stuff, and it's good for you out there who are listening, who are renting, and you out there who are landlord. This is good information. You want to phone and light up. We're going to take this call on Inside the Inner City. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Good night.
Hey, good evening.
Good evening. What I'd like to know, as far as with the landlord and the keys, I don't think the landlord should go in the apartment or where they're renting, you know, whenever they feel like. But I feel like the landlord should have a key in case there's, like, a fire. If the tenant changed the lock, how the landlord is supposed to deal with that situation?
The landlord should not be going inside a tenant's place.
Right.
So when you say in case of, call your tenant. If it's a fire, I gave the example where that's an emergency situation. Landlord should call the fire department, call the tenant while entering the place. If it's a fire.
But suppose you can't reach the tenant.
That's what I'm saying. If it's a fire, that you reach out to the fire department, you try and contact the tenant first and the fire department, and then you could enter into the place because that's an emergency, a fire. It could burn down and, you know, somebody else could be in the building or you'd lose your entire structure. But you should not have a key. So to tell you hold a key in the event there is a fire, I can't advise anybody that you should not have a key to someone's place.
As far as I know, all landlords normally have a key.
I'm a landlord. I don't have a key for any of my tenants' places. I have my law firm is rented in a place. My landlord doesn't have a key for that place.
Right. Well, I don't think to a business.
No. Well, I mean, a home is worse. A home is worse than a business.
Like I say, they have the emergency.
No.
I don't think they have the key just to be going into people's apartments.
Well, you may be, and let's say you're a landlord. There are people who are good people, but there are some people in this country who are perverts, who are pedophiles, who are rapists, who are thieves. And I'm not calling anyone's name. Nobody that rents a place to a tenant should have a key to their place. Nobody. I'm not going to make any exceptions for it. Nobody should have a key to a tenant's place. That's that person's home. They are entitled to quiet enjoyment by law and exclusive possession. No landlord should be entering that place and have a key. If the tenant decides, I want you to keep a key, that's a different story. But that's up to the tenant. It's at the tenant's discretion if they want a landlord to have a key. But the landlord has no right to keep a key to someone's place.
Wow.
People are walking around their homes naked. People are sleeping half naked. People are, you know, deep sleepers, anything could be happening to them. It's not safe. People have kids. It shouldn't be happening.
Wow. And I understand where the call is coming from. She's saying, just in case there's a fire, and you give a clear example. You know, call the fire station. And if not, then use force what is necessary. Mm-hmm. That's what you reply.
Yes.
You know, but you stated again, you know, They are good landlords who, but then you are people who abuse their power and are perverts and rapists, and you know who you're renting from. So it goes two ways. You know, we're talking about the tenants on one side saying be good, and we're talking to the landlord to be good, you know. So I understand. I understand.
I've sat in court, Mr. Brown / Scrooge, where I could picture it. The landlord had to be in his 60s, and the tenant with her daughter. She had to be in her late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And he sought to evict her because she, he said, hadn't paid rent. And when she got to speak, she's unrepresented. He had a lawyer. When she got to speak, she said, Your Worship, I had to save the money to look for a place because I can't stay there. The man keeps coming into the place when I'm in the shower. My child is screaming, the landlord, mommy, the man. Take his key and just walks in when she's in the shower.
Yeah.
And when she runs him out of the place.
Problem with him.
You know, he went, this is my place, this is my place. I was coming in to check stuff, my hair, the water running. The woman's like, I'm bathing.
Mm-hmm.
And you see my child in the front room.
Yeah,
what are you doing? You know?
Landlord, our power.
The landlord came, the magistrate came to determination in that case that she didn't have to pay rent because by his wrongful entry, he had disturbed her
privacy and the contract they signed.
Exclusive control. He had forcefully
put in fair.
Right, so she didn't have to pay the rent.
And, Mr. Enfield, are you saying that we have a lot of landlords like that who do this, even though the land is your own, the building is your own, the tenants still have rights?
Right. You've entered into a legal contract to say to this person, I am giving you this for you to live safely without being harassed sexually, physically, verbally, go ahead and live there. You should be safe. And then the person who's the worst culprit turns out to be the landlord.
Wow.
You can't have that. So I can't make any exceptions but for fire. If there's a fire, you don't need a key. Force yourself in. Call the tenant. Leave the voicemail. Break the door down then.
Because you're a professional lawyer and you're given the best advice you can. And you had many cases like this before the courts, and you've seen it on a regular basis as clients come to you, and you know you'll be sitting down in court doing other cases, and you're hearing similar matters about these particular behaviors.
Yes.
We get a next caller on the line. So caller, you're on Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio 96.9. We got Mr. Henfield in studios giving us some valuable information.
Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon to you, sir.
I have one question. Can a landlord raise his rent while you're living in the apartment, and he haven't done any major or any sort of addition or repairs to the apartment at all?
Yes.
And question number two, is it the landlord's responsibility to replenish your home if termites? I'll just hang up and listen.
All right, so to your first question. Boy. Every landlord has a right via an implied term, even though it's not expressly written in the agreement that the landlord says, I will increase my rent by 10 to 20% every year or every 3 years. It's an implied term that a landlord has a right to increase their rent. Does the landlord have to do any additional repairs to the property to be able to do so? No. The landlord could simply notify you if you have a lease for a year / rental agreement for a year, then what the law looks for is reasonable notice that he was going to increase the rent. So the landlord can't come within the first year when you've already rented the place at $1,000 and say to you 3 months in, I'm increasing the rent, or 5 months in.
That's a no-no.
But they can come 3 months before the lease ends.
One-year contract.
And notify you, not that rent's going to increase on month 10 or month 11, but on the annual increase. All right? And rent, what is acceptable in law is an increase anywhere from around 10 to 20% on the rent would be reasonable. But a landlord cannot come during that term and increase the rent. He can't come on the 15th of the month when you've moved into a month-to-month tenancy and say to you on the 15th, hey, come on the first of the month, the rent ain't $1,000 more, it could be $1,150. He can't do it. He would have to give you 3 months' notice in law. That seems reasonable in law.
Give you plenty of time.
Second question was with the termites. You've rented a place to somebody and termites are now eating their furniture. Does the landlord, is the landlord responsible? The landlord is not responsible
because if the
termite, if the termite was not in the premises prior to this tenant moving in. Tenants could have brought furniture that had termite in it. All right. So, you know, if it is that you, when the person moved into your place, the tenant, and they pointed out to you, you have termites and you didn't
do not. Okay.
You know, eradicate that. And then the termite eventually eats their furniture. Yes, you're liable.
Okay.
But if you, and this tenant's been there for 2-3 years, and now the tenant has a termite problem, and the tenant didn't bring it to your attention for you to mitigate, rectify this issue before, nor did the tenant decide to go and rectify it themselves and take that money out of the rent, then the tenants could bring the case all they want. I always try to say to persons, you can't stop anybody from suing you, but you can stop them from winning. Now, while they may want to sue the landlord to repair or replace their furniture, they're unlikely to win that case unless at the time they moved in, there were tenants, or they notice tenants a year or so later, notify you as a landlord in writing, you refuse to address it, and then the termites destroy their furniture. So the landlord would have had to have notice of termite, had an opportunity to rectify it and failed to do so. Then that person is likely to have a good case. But every case isn't as simple as the way you put it, caller. There's more to the story we find in law. So I would say to you, generally, if it is that the landlord had a termite problem before, didn't correct it, yes, they have to repair or replace that. If the landlord was advised while the tenant was there that, hey, we have a termite problem, we're discovering it, now rectify it, and the landlord refuses, and the tenant then had an obligation and a right to go and address the issue, and they refused, then it's unlikely the landlord would, at the end of the day, have to pay. And if he were to pay in that scenario, the court will still say you didn't mitigate your lost tenant because you could have had the place sprayed 2 years ago and you didn't.
Mm. All right? Wow, very, very good information. Mr. Enfield, I want to get a little profile on you because you're such an intelligent, you know, and you're very knowledgeable, you know, and you work hard as a lawyer. Some of the fields that you work in besides the wind or landlord and tenants are part of your law practice.
Okay. So this year, believe it or not, makes 20 years of me being an attorney. I was called to the bar back in 2003 in England and here in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, one of the reasons why I do these sessions, and I do these sessions every month via my Facebook page, mm-hmm. These free sessions, and most times I do 3 to 4 different areas of law
mm-hmm.
When I do the sessions. But I do these sessions, and I've heard persons say, oh, you're doing some good service, or it's very nice of you. I don't find it very nice of me to do any good service. The truth of the matter is, someone did this for me.
Because
for me to get where I am today.
Oh.
Someone took the time to teach and explain to me at no cost to me. So I think it's the least I could do
to give those
moving forward. Someone did it for me.
Because you can see the phone is,
yeah.
People are calling, right. And then there are a lot of people who are listening online and on air, mm-hmm. listening to what you have to say.
Right. So I do it every month. I've been doing it every month now. I think this is my fourth year of doing it once mm-hmm. a month on my Facebook page. But I do, in addition to landlord and tenant law, some of you listening may know me from court, the civil court. I have been the litigation attorney for several of the lending institutions in the country, like Commonwealth Bank, Scotia Bank, mm-hmm. First Caribbean, et cetera. I do criminal law as well, criminal defense. I do conveyancing, child support cases, divorce cases, legal separation, and emergency protection orders, maintenance pending suit orders, traffic matters as well. I do company law, and generally banking law as well.
Wow, just outstanding, and you keep on climbing a ladder. There's a number of people can reach out if they really want, or somewhere contact they can reach you, because this is very good, and there's a lot of people probably want to get in contact with you.
So I'm not one of the lawyers who will tell you wait until my office to call. I have a page, which is just Renard Eric Henfield on Facebook. And one of the good things is the videos are up of other sessions I've done mm-hmm. explaining the laws in detail, where we've had more time to go through them and more in depth. You can view those videos there at Renard Eric Henfield on Facebook. My website is learnedfriends.biz, which is LEARNED, friends, FRIENDS.BIZ. And then the number at the office is 603-2326. And then I have a WhatsApp number for clients. If you want to send a message on WhatsApp, it's 801-1979, all right?
So we need some representation, some information, and you need a good lawyer and who knows about all those fields. You can contact those numbers he gave you, or you could WhatsApp, et cetera, Facebook. He gave you the whole full 9 yards just now, and this is good for you because you might not have this information. Now you have a chance to connect with somebody who is a professional, who has access to the court system, knows the court system, and knows how to have a fair outing with the judge. We're going to take this call on Inside Indian City. Go ahead, caller.
Good evening. I have a question.
Go ahead, ma'am. You got such a beautiful voice.
So, I have a tenant, and the tenant has not paid from April 1st. I would have given the tenant a notice for three months prior to let them know that I will not be renewing the lease for the upcoming lease agreement. So they have not paid for April. What I did was I told them that I would allow them to use their last month's rent for the month of May and told them that they have to be out by June. Now, April has not been paid as yet. So I don't know where to go from there.
Wow. All right. So first of all, you're not letting anybody use up their last month rent.
I'm sorry. Okay.
I said, first of all, you're not letting somebody use their last month rent. Everybody's entitled to their last month rent being applied. Secondly, when you said you gave them notice 3 months ago, April's rent, which then suggests to me they paid March rent?
Yeah, correct? They paid March. So March was the month that I would have given them the notice to let them know.
After they paid rent, you gave them notice, or you gave them notice before they paid the rent?
I gave them the notice before they paid the rent.
All right, so once you collected rent and accepted rent from somebody that you gave notice to vacate, technically you basically said, I'm continuing to have a rental relationship with you. So what you need to go do is renew your eviction notice. When you serve that notice on them, you also need to file a summons in magistrate court. A summons, you don't need a lawyer for this. You can go to magistrate court, put your name as the plaintiff, your tenant as the defendant. Then it's going to have a section called particulars of claim. Simply say the plaintiff at all material times was the landlord of XYZ Place. Paragraph 2, the defendant...
Mom, you have a pen?
The defendant was at all material times a tenant of the landlord on XYZ date, which would be May 20th tomorrow or May 22nd next week. The landlord gave the tenant notice to vacate personally by hand, as the tenant had not paid rent for the month of April. The tenant is now using last month rent for April, thus is in arrears, and the landlord wants the tenant out. Okay, you file that summons, serve that tenant at court. There are police officers at court that can serve it for you, or if you know a police officer that's a friend of yours, you can let that police officer serve the summons. Make sure they file an affidavit of service stating when and where they serve your tenant, the time, describing that tenant physical appearance, and the place that they serve the tenant. Have that affidavit of service notarized by a JP or a lawyer. Photocopy it and return the original to court. You'll pay another $2 or $3 fees. In total, it should cost you $5 to do your case.
$5 to do a case?
$5.
Wow.
If you hire us as a lawyer, I can tell you we start at $4.50.
You listen to that? All right. So, mom, you're getting a real break. So, this is for you. So, I hope you got your pen. And you could probably hit him up on Facebook, too, also.
I did already. So I will continue to message. But I got the gist of what you're saying. Thank you so much.
All right.
But thank you. The information is very insightful because I wanted to know what step I needed to take next.
Okay, all the best.
Yes.
So I appreciate that.
Thank you. Our host on Guiding Radio, it's my job to bring professionals like Mr. Henfield to be able to assist the general public. So I want to say thank you. Thanks to you for listening. Now you got some valuable information on how to deal with your situation concerning your tenant. You know, we're going to, the producer now, Carmen, is playing the music, so we're going to take a break. So don't go nowhere. We'll be right back after the break on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM.
I represent the Indian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, bigger beat and bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. right between West and Augusta. Where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never eat.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together. And we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way. We're at Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Hey, Tina. I've been working here all under and see you since COVID. I finished the BTVI Smart Start program and this mechanic shop hired me.
Smart Start?
Yeah, if you didn't finish high school when the pandemic was going on, you could sign up for auto mechanics, beauty, fashion, or construction. It's only 12 weeks and you get to do an internship.
Too bad I ain't have no money.
Your Smart Start is free.
Free? I might as well go do hell.
Listen, don't count yourself out. Email smartstart@btvi.edu.bs or call 502-6300 today.
People, what you thinking?
We want something different.
Uh-huh. People, what you wanting?
We want love the government.
I can tell them no more slunking.
We want see it function.
I can tell them no more joking.
I forgot.
Gone down Blue Hill Road. Gone down Village Road. Gone down Nassau Road. We want local government. We want local government.
Fix the road.
We want local government.
Share the love.
We want local government.
We are called for local government.
Sign the petition and find out more information at risebahamas.net.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la.
Good night, we're back on Garden Radio 96.9. I'm your host, Valentino Brown, host of the talk show Inside Inside every Friday at what time it is? I can't even remember. 6:30 to 8 o'clock. The show is so interesting. And my special guest is Mr. Henfield, a professional lawyer. He goes online every month, and he gives free lecture on many of the fields that he's taken up as a lawyer. The phone lines are lighting up, so I don't want to keep no one waiting. They want to have a lot of questions for Mr. Henfield. So go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City on this wonderful Friday evening. Night. Go ahead, caller.
Good evening. Good evening.
Mr. Brown, Mr. Henfield, how are you?
We're fine,
how
ma'am.
Are you?
Excellent, okay. Thank you. Quick question. I have a residence that I'm thinking on converting a portion for rental income.
Mm-hmm.
It's a single family dwelling at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Can I, by law, decide that there's only a portion of my yard or premises that the tenant can access?
Yes, you can.
Yes, separate
it. I can.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, you can
separate. So I can go ahead and I can put a fence up, wall, gate to say you cannot cross over this portion. If you have guests come to you, this is where they are restricted to. A parking spot, your guest does not rightfully have parking spot, the rest of it is for
you,
myself
and your family.
Yes.
And my family.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So as a landlord-tenant relationship, yes, you can do that. That's fine. This is a private contract. You're allowing somebody to rent. What I would say to you, though, is on the public side, the government, as you may know, is going hard after persons in the short-term rental industry. So if it is that you are going to use it as a short-term rental, I would say to you, register with the Department of Inland Revenue that you're doing that, and they're going to shoot you an email within 2 to 3 weeks of you registering, authorizing you to go ahead and use that as a short-term rental. If you are using it as a month-to-month rental, not short-term, month-to-month, the regular rental we normally do as Bahamians, then you don't need to register with Inland Revenue for the purpose of getting a short-term rental approval. But you would still need to notify a department in Inland Revenue that you are turning a residential property now into an income-producing premises, all right, which will then impact on your real property tax assessment, okay?
Interesting.
So I would fully encourage you, to go ahead and do the rentals. It's a great second source of income. I can assure you there are persons in this country making tens of thousands of dollars to supplement their income off rentals. So go right ahead. Just do it properly, okay?
With it being my first time, mm-hmm. Vet, your advice, what would be your suggestion? Should I start off with a short term, or do I go with the month-to-month as we know it in our culture?
It really depends on the, and I'm going to phrase it this way, the amount of money you want to make and the headache you want. If you go with a month-to-month rental for what you may turn into an efficiency, let's say you charge somebody $550 for the month to be there. If you go with the Airbnb, the average Airbnb in New Providence is going at $100 per night, and persons will come in, they want to spend two or three nights coming from the family islands, or some from the family islands wants to come and have a baby, they got to stay for 3 months, and then you can charge a monthly rate of up to $2,000 a month. So the only difference with a month-to-month, you ain't ever got to go in there and clean up after nobody. But a short term, every time your guests leave, you got to go in there and clean it up and get it ready for somebody else.
Get it sanitized and all that.
In addition to you charging them that $100 a night, you're also charging them a cleaning fee.
Okay.
All right. So they're going to pay you to clean up after they leave. So you're going to get the $200 for the two nights they spend, and then the $50 or $75 fee for you to clean up. So if you're looking for a source of income as we age, you know, I'm 43, turning 50 soon. I think it's a great way to supplement your income for your family. If you go to the month-to-month rental, obviously it's less rent that you'd be getting. If you go to the short term, it's a bigger investment up front because now you got to put in the little living budget. All persons coming into an Airbnb one is a TV and internet.
That's all they want.
They don't care for all the decor and decorations and the big fridge and stuff. They ain't cooking nothing. You know, but they want internet and a television, all right?
Oh.
So you really got to sit down with your family or, by yourself and brainstorm on, you know, what kind of turnover do I want and what kind of headache do I want? Because I know persons who are doing one night stays at Airbnbs and doing like six bookings a week, but they've quit their jobs at hotels and they're doing
their own boss. They're living good now because
that's
a lot of money.
So $600. No. $600 rental plus the $50 cleaning fee every day. They're making $900. So it's something to consider.
Thank you. Final question, Mr. Henfield.
Yes, ma'am.
Is it your best advice to always operate under a lease?
I wouldn't.
A rental agreement?
Ma'am, do not rent to nobody without a rental agreement. If the disciples come, tell the disciples, I know who you are. I know your people. But I need you to sign. I need you to sign this. Always do a rental agreement, okay?
Yes.
You don't need a lawyer to do a rental agreement. You can go on the internet and Google rental agreements, and I've shared the basics that you need to have.
Wow.
What the tenant must do, the notice period, those are things you can do on your own. So I'm the attorney that tells you not everything you need to run to an attorney for and pay us for. Like I said to the caller before you, $5, she can do a case. If she comes to our law firm, it's going to cost her $450. So you could do a rental agreement on your own, but definitely, you know, regardless of which disciple come, do your rental agreement, all right?
Thank you. Your information is always insightful. Have a good evening.
You're welcome.
Okay,
good
you too, Mom.
Take care.
Yes, and a lot of people, they want to guide them in the right direction.
Yeah,
this is very good. Okay, caller. We have an next caller. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City. Mr. Hanfield is waiting to answer your question. Go ahead, caller. I guess they left. Call if you want to call back and get some wonderful information. You can. Again, the telephone numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and you can text us, powered by BTC at 422-GR96, and you can listen why Guardian 969 Cable Bahamas. And Mr. Henfield is giving us some wonderful information. There are many people who call in, they are asking questions, and you're giving them solutions. You know, you're advising them. You're a landlord, so you have the experience in that. You're a lawyer. But the way you give that information, you came from the court perspective, you came from the tenant perspective, and you came from the landowner perspective.
Right.
And you were also encouraging them what they can and what they should do, mm-hmm. you know, and also telling them, you know, brainstorm with your family, you know. And the lady, she called us now, and she's trying to, you know, make a separation from her property. You know, she want to put up a little fence, you know, and then she want to tend to stay aside. She gave them a parking space.
Mm-hmm.
And like you told her, no, sign that lease agreement.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, so you can do what you want.
Yeah, I will share while you wait for your next callers. For us in law, we use something called LexisNexis, a paid subscription for us to get right at this moment, right now, every case that was decided around the world today.
Mm-hmm.
So we pay thousands of dollars every single law firm or every lawyer to have access to that. So
yes,
we know what's happening, what's current with the law today. So when you see us in court or you hear us in court, you will hear us referring the judge to the case that was decided in London yesterday.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Or so, a case in Australia.
Yes,
before,
yes, yes.
Because we go by precedent. And one of the things I would share with all of you listening today is the eviction. There's a case that we find very relevant in our profession. It's a case called Grange versus Quinn. And it started back in 2023. And the gist of it was that the court decided that a landlord who intends to evict a tenant must ensure that he or she follows the correct procedure.
Procedures.
And a failure to serve the correct notice is likely to make an eviction illegal.
Mm.
So that case may have had for us to read 34 pages to read.
34.
The one line that was relevant for us in those of us who practice landlord and tenant law is that we'll quote to the judge, we'd like to remind the court of the case of Grange versus Quinn. And in that case, the judge or the court of appeal would have decided and determined and established in this area of law that when a landlord wants to evict a tenant, they must follow the correct procedure. Mm-hmm. And I think in that case, as with any other case, the person's rent was due on a certain day of the month. Let's say the rent was due on the first of the month,
mm-hmm.
and the landlord got mad with that tenant and decided on the 15th, I want you out.
Out.
This is your last month.
I'm getting physical. Some get physical.
Right, but technically, the person, the 30-day notice.
Yes.
You came on the 15th of the month, which means they had 15 more days in the month.
I just want you, I don't care. I just want you out.
So the court would basically determine that, no, technically your notice on that day could only be for the following month.
Yes.
It couldn't have been for that month. So the eviction was illegal. And when the court finds that your eviction is illegal, like in this case, the landlord had to pay about £9,000 because this person was renting the place for a business. And now because you're evicting them, they're going to lose money when they close
their revenue.
Business. So when you, as a landlord, are making decisions, reach out to an attorney to ask a question to make sure what you're about to do, you're doing it right, because you may find yourself coming to court.
And you think you're doing it right, but you broke the law.
I've been in cases where I represent the quote-unquote defendant, the person being sued, and like this week, won the case for the defendant, and then the court ordering the plaintiff, the person that was suing, to pay the person they were trying to sue court costs of $1,000 for me being in court for 1 hour. You just wasted our time. We told you from when you served the documents, you can't win this case. Withdraw it. You didn't. You've come to court, and in 1 hour, the case is over, but you're going to be paying $1,000 because you did this thing wrong. So it can't hurt to just ring up a lawyer and ask, hi, I will run a quick question by you, a scenario by you. Could you explain, am I on the right path? And do it before you file your case.
Wow.
Do it before you file the case. So then you can go down to the court, pay a little. I like to say little, but little don't change that the meme says, right? But pay a little $2 to file your summons. Pay the $3 to file the after service, and it costs you $5. But just reach out to a lawyer first to find out, am I going about this the right way?
Yeah, I know you just expired all this to do this.
Mm-hmm.
If you come to me, now listen to that, not $4.50, $450. Now, listen, you're talking about $5 goes to $450. You know what it means? What's the profit margin in that? So what you going to do? You're going to go with the $5, right? So take the advice.
And then if you lose, you know, for you who lose the case, you may find, like in that case this week, the plaintiff having to pay us $1,000 for losing.
Yeah. You know, I love having you on, Anku Saru, because from the religious point, you're coming with the landlord. I like to have all of us are in the same field, Mr. Enfield.
Yes,
we just we take a little different direction, but all of us are in the same field because all of us are trying to do our best to educate with the Christianity. We're trying to educate with the law and how it could benefit those less fortunate, even the tenants, the landlords, and those who need information. Mm-hmm. You know, and then they come for it from a little different angle, but we all doing the same thing. We want to educate. We want a better Bahamas, and we want a peaceful Bahamas. The reason why I wanted Mr. Enfield on the show today is because for a long time in the country, I've observed landlords overstepping their jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watch tenants who would do things like two persons in the apartment.
They have six.
They have six, seven.
Yeah.
And they damaged the landlord's apartment
radar. The amount of water they're using isn't factored in. You see, when a landlord rents you a place for two, and he says knows. Your rent is $750, he's already budgeting for a certain amount of water right. or light bill. When you now add six persons, that's four set of people bathing twice a day. That's more water. That's more flushing of the toilets. That's more electricity being burned. It's more wear and tear, slamming, opening, closing doors. It's more wear and tear on the place.
Yeah, because, you know, I noticed this. My light bill, Manny, she helps me out with a lot of stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. She's just like my mother. Mm-hmm. My light bill would normally be like $35. And I end up letting a young lady stay with me because she didn't have no place to stay, right, for about 6 or 7 months. Wow. And my light bill gone from $35 to actually $95 to $100.
Wow, three times, eh?
You understand? Just because person, they're using the water. Yeah, person, I noticed that.
One additional person.
So that one additional person put screen because I could be saying as a landowner, well, listen, this is a one-bedroom. I know the light bill is not more than probably exactly. $50.
Right, so I can still make a profit if I'm charging you X, Y, right. Z. But when you bring in six and seven people, all the rent I'm collecting from you is going to BPL.
That's right. So I might have
people
to...
People like that, you live here free. Because I ain't making nothing.
It makes such good sense, you know. And like I say, to each and every one of you out there, I hope you're enjoying the show. If there's questions you need to be asked, you can call in and... If you want to further get more information, Mr. Enfield, could you give out your numbers again?
I'm on Facebook, folks, Renard Eric Henfield, and every month I would do a session. I think I have my next session on June 21st.
Facebook?
Yeah, on Facebook. It's a Facebook Live, so even if you miss the session, the videos stay up, so you can always watch any other area of law I've taught.
Yes, sir.
And I've been doing this, like I said, from about sometime in 2020. And I think I've touched on it. I've probably done at least 90 of these sessions so far. So you get, you know, a good, well-rounded view on the different areas of the law. And the sole purpose of it is to teach persons the law. A lot of our rights and responsibilities are or the law. And there's so much other areas. I know when you reach out to me, Scrooge, you ask if there were any other areas I'd want to discuss, but I knew landlord and tenant itself will take up a good hour of your show.
Yes, yes.
But there are persons, as I mentioned before, who have warrants of arrest outstanding for them. And they are ducking, dodging the police on every roadblock as if a warrant of arrest for a traffic matter or a child support case or a civil case is something serious.
It's not a criminal
matter. It's nothing serious. It's walking to court and say, Judge, I apologize. I missed court 10 years ago. But I paid the $50 fine.
And a lot of people
move on with your life.
And a lot of people don't know the difference between civil case and criminal
case.
You
got that.
So
right.
I gotta have you come in or have a discussion on that. What I want you to do is when you get a chance and you feel fit, look on your schedule. And if you wanna say, you know, Scrooge, I wanna come on in January or February, you just let me know and we'll have a discussion on this.
No problem.
You wanna take this last
call? Go right ahead, man.
Okay, we're gonna take this last call on Inside the Inner City on this wonderful Friday. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Good day.
Good day, good evening. Day. How are you doing, sir?
Scrooge, yes, Valentino, Mr. Valentino Brown, and Mr. Henfield.
Yes, sir.
I just called to let y'all know that.
Thank you,
Amos Junior Miller here.
Thank you, man.
Mr. Miller. I have enjoyed this show. Mr. Henfield, may Yahweh Elohim, Spirit bless you continue.
That's the original name of Christ.
You got the name.
Oh, God.
You know it.
Original name, yes.
Amen to that. Wise man. Thank you, man.
Thank you very much. I think he's such a wonderful gentleman, you know. And that's to show you that the show was very positive and very informative for many persons out there because we don't hardly have this conversation, Mr. Enfield. You know, and it's good that you come on and you talk about the different aspects of your practice, your law practice. Mm-hmm. And we definitely would like you to come in.
No problem.
When you have the time and you're free. You know, you're very busy.
Well, let's do it this way. I don't like to tell people what to do when I do sessions. So when I do the lives, I ask persons to tell me what topics you want.
Okay.
So
we'll do that.
With your show, you could find out from your listeners what areas of the law they want. And then you want to arrange it every other month or every month, you let me know.
I want to really hit on that child support for the men because the men are being torn apart. So we want to talk about
access.
We'd like to talk about that.
And now you got the citizen issue for men too, to getting their children citizenship.
Yes,
getting them access to their children, and then this issue of child
Yes, because you're a professional lawyer. So again, you want to give out your numbers again?
So sure, 326 folks, 603-2326 is my office. And feel free, like I said, there's a WhatsApp number for the office, 801-1979. And then there's my page, Renard Eric Henfield, where you'll be able to see all the other videos. So if you're hoping I speak to something in the future, I may have already had spoken to it, and the video's up on that page that you can watch, all right? hope I helped, and all the best. Have a good evening. Have a good weekend.
Wow, just amazing. I want to thank Mr. Henfield for taking time with his busy schedule to come on Guardian Radio. And again, it's my pleasure as a host to have him on because, like I said, I always want to try and make a difference some way, somehow. And he is one of the leaders. He's giving back also because, you know, he is a lawyer. And lawyers, you know, don't really do things for free unless they're compassionate about, you know, you understand? Facts. Very, very compassionate about their giving back for him. As the persons who come from the inner city community, mm-hmm. this is a way of giving back.
Yes, yes.
You know, this is a way of helping people fight, you know, for their rights, you know. Mm-hmm. And it also gives how I should put it. It gives the landlord some clarification. It gives the tenant some clarification. Mm-hmm. And it also teaches about doing to others as you have others doing to you, because I wouldn't want no one to come in my place that I just save up my whole entire retirement is, mm-hmm. my retirement pension. Mm-hmm. And I say to myself, you know, I'm turning in 50, 60, 5 years. Mm-hmm. I save up enough. Now I'm going to invest in buying a property and build some low-cost apartments. Mm-hmm. And this is the way how I'm going to get my income coming back, mm-hmm. because, you know, I'm going to be retired now. So this is how I'm going to be able to live. Like you said earlier, I'm going to be able to pay my light bill, my cable mm-hmm. bill at my home, mm-hmm. and be right. able to pay my, you know, gas bill.
Exactly.
And I'm depending on my investment mm-hmm. to be able to take care of me, you know, for the rest of my days. And I wouldn't want no one to come and damage it, you know. And at the same time, I don't want to be abusive. I don't want to wear,
true.
Because the place is my own. I don't want you park no car here. I don't want you bringing no woman in my place. Some of these people just don't want you bring their, some of the landlords don't want you bring their your friends or family in their yard. They tell you, no, I rent it to you. I don't want to see no one else come in my yard, Mr. Enfield. I forget, it's just the part I was supposed to knock you with.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking to you about, because a lot of them, landlords would actually go as far as to deny access to family, friends.
No, you're entitled to guests. You're entitled to guests.
You know,
it's just that they can't be living there.
They
but
can't
you're
be
entitled to guests. So you could have a young lady come over at 8 p.m. and stay there 2 a.m. three times a week. That ain't a problem. She can stay 5 days a week, but she ain't living there. You're entitled to have a guest.
Okay. And sometimes they won't lock the gate.
Yeah.
You know, so it's good that you were able to come and clarify that, you know, and I'm sure that a lot of listeners out there, they really enjoyed the show today. I truly did. And like I said, you know, I would like to have you come in and then we'd have a discussion. But that we talked about earlier,
yeah, right,
when it comes to that child support.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do
it. We definitely have to talk about that because, right. like I say, the guys, again, do too bad.
Okay.
It's more like woman has all the right. And the man just go to court and he can't even explain himself. Now, there's some no good man now, all right?
There's plenty screwed.
There's plenty no good man out there.
Plenty.
But you are plenty good man out there who are really hurt and they're doing their best, but they don't stand a chance around the court. They need a good lie like Renata Enfield. So I'm encouraging person, take Mr. Enfield's number and get in contact with him. Many thanks to you for coming in. Say this away to your wife and your daughters again, man. You made me feel so good today.
Girls, I'm on my way home.
All right.
See y'all soon. Love y'all.
Y'all have a wonderful father, and he's doing great wonders for the less fortunate and great, giving great information to the country. And I want to say thank Mr. Enfield. And Mr. Enfield, just have a wonderful Friday, you and your family, and just enjoy the weekend. And to each and every one of you who listen to Inside Inner City, we go out our way to bring the best qualified person who are sincere to give you the best for mayor those particular person. So we'll see you next week on Guardian Radio 96.9. Valentino Brown signing off. Next week, we'll see you next week Friday. Good night, everybody. Enjoy.
Call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a signed blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy.